It was a Tuesday morning, clear skies on this very day 25 years ago. 99.7 DJX, New York City, no, not a cloud in the sky. It was beautiful, clear day. And people, if you've got a memory of it, you definitely remember where you were and what you were doing. And maybe you have only learned its history because either you were too young at the time to really kind of get a grasp or feel for what the vibe was like and everything. But there's a definite pre-9/11 post-9/11 feel to just about everything we do.
Yes, I was working on the show with my previous partner, Peter B. I had left the show early that day, though. I was getting furniture delivered that day. And so
I saw Kelly's priorities, by the way.
Sometimes you just have to be there when you're a single gal. No one's going to be there, and they give you a window, and you just got to make it work.
Like, listen, I got to go get... I got to go be there for the furniture people.
Yeah, so I was there. My TV was unplugged because it was like entertainment center. I was sitting there, and I started getting phone calls from the station, and they're like, are you near a TV? Turn it on.
Right.
So I'm sitting there. My TV's on the floor. I'm on the floor. And I start watching. And I just called in report all day. I just sat there all day.
Right.
Watching the coverage and just called in reports to the station that we aired all day
for
long.
A lot of us, especially in the broadcast, this was like a new experience.
Oh,
like,
and especially what we do. Mm-hmm. We play pop music. We have fun. We entertain.
Yeah, for sure.
This was like, different. What do we do here? So we just had to make up our own way with how to deal with it.
Right. I was working in Indiana at the time, and my girlfriend then, my now wife, called me and was like, hey, turn the television on.
Yeah.
And you know, I turn it on, and I was like, oh, wow, what happened? And I turned it on to see the second plane, and I thought that was a replay, and it wasn't.
No, yeah.
And so that was a bit, you know, you are filled with all sorts of emotion and everything.
Yeah.
We have friends who were living in Brooklyn at the time and were able to, or still actually live in Brooklyn, and we're just watching it out there, the window of their apartment. And it's just...
It was surreal. You know, you felt like you were watching a movie.
Yeah.
It was life.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think we all kind of have that sort of like, where were we? What were we doing when? Brittany had texted us and said, I remember I was late for school. And I was getting ready, and... The first tower was hit while I was getting ready, and the second while I was waiting to be taken to school. Then I was in history class, and they had it on the television, and so the towers, I saw them fall. And I remember when the second fall, and we thought that it was just showing a replay of the first, but then we realized that it was actually the second, and the room fell completely silent. Yeah, and she said she was there at Manual. And her oldest graduated from Manual last year in middle, and her other kid is a junior there this year. And every time she says she's got to walk through the building there at Manual and walk past the history classroom, she always gets a little flashback. And it's always one of those things. It's like it's one of those things that you don't think is going to trigger you, because last year I was actually in New York City and we visited the 9/11 memorial.
Yeah.
And it is so quiet, and I didn't know I didn't know how I would emotionally process it, because we're distance, because, you know, where we are in proximity is hundreds of miles away from, you know, Pennsylvania, from Washington, D.C., from New York City. So proximity wise, we weren't like in the thick of it like those people and those residents were at the time. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know how I would like actually process it emotionally. But man, when you're there and you know,
I was there 13 years ago. So, yeah, I saw that.
You can see they've done such an amazing job of preserving artifacts, of showing, of memorializing.
Yes.
And of paying tribute to all of those from, you know, obviously the first responders to the dogs.
Yes.
The animals that help search for survivors and everything. And so that was just an amazing experience. And I I remember, you know, getting choked up, and especially hearing the phone calls from, you know, the people on the plane that are like, hey, look, I'm leaving you a voice message. It doesn't look good. And I'm not going to play those because I myself don't like hearing those.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
It's very, very hard to hear. But these are memories that we had. And if you have an opportunity to go and experience the 9/11 memorial, I recommend you do that.
It is amazing to see in person and just to kind of get an idea. You can see the images on videos and TV shows and all the documentaries that have been made since then. But being there in person is just amazing to see.
Yeah.
Maddie says, sixth grade, just come from science class, went to band class when we found out and watched it on TV. I think everybody that was in a class, they turned on the TV and you just watched.
It was one of those things where, you know, a certain generation has the memory of when they were in elementary school and the Challenger exploded. This generation remembers, you know, now 9/11, and you know, it's those moments. And I want to read for you an account of Alou Villian, and she had posted kind of her experience of being born and raised in Louisville, moving to New York City in 1999, and then kind of her, what happened for her. And we'll share that coming up. And if you've got any sort of like memories of how you helped or what you did, or maybe you were in it, you feel free. 502-795-1997. 25th anniversary of the September 11 attacks.
It was this moment.
It was
this
at
very moment.
8:46 right now when the first plane crashed into the World Trade Center. And I think everybody at the time was just like, oh, wow. And especially when you heard it, you were like, oh, that's like a little Cessna or something, like, wow, those are huge towers. How could that mistake happen?
And then you saw.
And then you realized.
The footage.
Yeah. I want to share with you this Alou Villian and her experience. She had moved to New York City in 1999, she said, I followed a dream and moved to New York City in 1999. She had posted about this. She said, after 9/11, it was tough to commute to our temporary office, and I had no life really outside of work and travel. So, and I was an anxious mess after 9/11. So I moved back home to Louisville to be with my family. But here's my story. I was evacuated moments after the first plane had hit and was just hanging around on the sidewalk, like most people were, as the second plane hit. I ran from the glass that was falling, and what we, not very far, but there was really no place for us to go. By the time things, quote, calmed down, all the transportation was shut down in the entire city. And she says, I lived across the river, and at that point, it was over 100 blocks to get to her apartment.
Everybody just started walking.
She said, I guess I was just thinking that if I just waited, the subway would resume operation. And of course, that's not the case. But things that I saw that day while I, quote, waited are etched in my mind forever. Oh, and the sounds, she says, to this day, I can't hear a fire truck or an ambulance without being taken back to that very day. I ran for my literal life a total of 3 times that day and managed to be unscathed, relatively. I did have a gnarly sunburn and blisters on my feet from walking across the Brooklyn Bridge and 100 blocks back to my place. But she says, I realized recently that I've never completely healed. I never processed it. I was back home in Louisville before the 1-year anniversary, and then I started a family a year after that, and sure, I'd think about it, of course, but I never, quote, dealt with it. And now I'm kind of paying for that 25 years of me just kind of pushing those emotions and feelings down. Hence why I'm posting this.
Right.
And just said, thank you for listening, type of thing. So
sometimes,
like,
it helps to just get the story out.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I have a good friend and a friend of almost like a sister of my wife who has lived, her name's Abby. She's lived in New York City since moving back in like the mid 90s. So she's been there ever since. And still to this day is that doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to talk about it. So
it's just, it's different if you were living through it and saw it. And just, again, the images, there is one of the many things that we put up on our website at WDJX.com. Mm-hmm. There were these photographs taken by an electrician who worked overnight at the Windows on the World, the restaurant at the top. And so it's just very now haunting images. It's just an empty building. He loved photography, so he would go around and just take pictures of all the different rooms and the kitchen and all this kind of stuff when no one was there. It was overnight. And he did end up leaving. Sometimes he would stick around and catch up with the day crew before he left. That day he left, though, in time and was able to get out. But 9 months later, apparently, he passed away in a motorcycle accident. But now, like, these images are kind of like, they sat there undiscovered for a long time. But now it's just a really gives you a glimpse as to all, like, that entire building, what it looked like inside, the stunning views from there, and the restaurant on top. And you can see those posted at WDJX.com. They're pretty amazing.
I always feel some sort of way about seeing the New Yorkers and community helping each other out. And I always go back to Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
And he was just such a passionate, caring man. And his look for the helpers.
You know, my mother used to say a long time ago, whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines. That's why I think that if news programs could make a conscious effort of showing rescue teams, of showing who medical people, anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy, to be sure that they include that. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
Yes. 100%.
Mr. Rogers.
Summed it up perfectly.
Mr. Rogers.
And that was the day that everybody became helpers.
Yep, for sure. It's 99.7 DJX.